Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to episode 209 of Heart and Soul for Women of Faith, where we talk boldly about leadership, influence, faith, purpose, prosperity, and how we're striving to make a meaningful difference in the world as leaders, business owners, and entrepreneurs. Our aim is to encourage you in your faith journey, especially during these challenging times. I'm Jory Fisher, a featured host on Blog Talk Radio, with my guest, Brigida Hefferle, who will be speaking with us today, June 1st, 2020, about one of my favorite topics, powerful communication. So I am going to hope that this phone number right here is Brigida, but it might not be. Let's try this one. Brigida, is that you?
Yes, it is. It is me, yes. Hey, Jory.
All right. So we discovered that this number will work, even though apparently the direct connect thing wasn't so great for us. Anyway, my dear, thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. How are you?
I am good, Jory. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Well, I'm thrilled that guess what? A certain Jana Beeson has called into the show as well. So she's on mute right now.
Hey, Jana, welcome to the party.
There you go. So she may chime in from time to time.
But I love it.
I know. So, Brigida, what are we going to be talking about today? Just say, if you could say just a few words to our guests about your main points.
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you, Jory, for having me, for inviting me on your wonderful show. I'm all about listening to relate rather than to respond. Too many people are listening, or at least they are hearing, or they're pretending to hear what someone says while they're already in their head figuring out what is something witty or knowledgeable or funny that I can say, where they're and at that point, they're not even listening anymore. And that is not what communication is. Communication is really paying attention to what the other person is saying and learn from their language patterns and then speak those language patterns back. I'm going to say 80%, probably even more, 90% of people are not listening on that level. They're listening to respond. That's a real problem.
Guilty as charged. I've done it, and I will do my best not to do it on this radio show. I can tell you that. At least not this episode. All right. Well, let me say a little bit about what this show is about. We air on Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, and I want to invite you to follow this live interactive show by clicking on the little follow button on my show page. You can listen to any of my archived on-demand episodes at blogtalkradio.com/Jory Fisher, that's my show page, and on my website, joryfisher.com. And I want to mention that today's episode is the first one I've done in 5 years. 5 years. The last show was June of 2015. So I guess it took some big changes in the world to get me back on air, but here we are. Oh, my.
Yes. I am super, super honored and thrilled that I get to be opening up after 5 years. Thank you, Jory, for that. You're so sweet.
5 years ago, I didn't even know you. And wow, I had you to look forward to and didn't even know it.
God has a plan.
There you go. There you go. So anyway, people out there, if you'd like to comment or ask us a question, you can call 515-605-9750. That number again is 515 605-9750. And you can also type your question or comment in the chat box, and I'll do my best to keep an eye out for it. So a few words about who I am and what I do. I'm a former attorney turned certified coach and sales trainer who helps smart, savvy women of faith build strong, successful businesses and lead joyful, meaningful lives. I encourage you to visit my website, joryfisher.com, to enjoy hundreds of resources, blog posts, videos, ebooks, and my Discover Your Purpose starter course, all for free. I also encourage you to take a 90-second assessment and get a free customized report that will help you dramatically improve your relationships and drastically increase your sales. Just go to crackmycode.com/report. That's crackmycode.com/report. And now it's my pleasure to introduce my dear friend, Brigitte Hefferle. And I do want to add that she is also my coach and my daughter's coach. And we will hear from Jana in a little bit, I am quite sure. As a powerfully engaging and professional international speaker, Brigitte is also known as the fastest-tracked female trainer and retired lead coach of the world's largest self-development company. As leading mentor, business coach, and author, she's invited to speak on stages around the world. Her degrees in marketing, social pedagogy, and education validate her expertise, logic, and knowledge, but it is her creativity, her humanity, and her passion which really makes her stand out and lead other leaders. Brigitte was born and raised in Germany and has resided in the United States since 2004 with her two wonderfully independent and successful daughters and her husband, the renowned culture guy. Brigitte is the award-winning founder of the German Language School and the Montessori School of Cleveland. As the CEO and owner of the NLP Institute of Atlanta and a lead trainer of Codebreaker Technologies, she gives full credit for her success to her unique communication and listening skills, her tenacity, and her never-ending desire to take something from good to outrageously great. Brigitte, have I left out anything? Would you like to add anything to that
Holy
bio?
Cow.
I know, don't you sound amazing? You are amazing.
That's a lot. That's a mouthful right there.
All right. Do you think I got the main pieces?
Yeah, you got the absolute main pieces. Thank you, Jory. Wow. Where do we
My
go from
pleasure.
Here? I mean, you know.
Yeah. So that's it. We're done. All right.
And if it were that easy, right, there's so much that we, so much value, so much strategies that we can give to your listeners. So where do we start?
Absolutely. Well, I do want people to know you a little bit better, not just your bio, but I always like my guests to, share some of the challenges they've had. And let's start first with just your upbringing. You know, you didn't just land in Atlanta, Georgia.
No, if it were that easy. You know, I was brought up in a small village that was surrounded, or to this day is surrounded, by vineyards in Germany. And the small village is called Kranchen. They had 600 people in the village, and I couldn't get out there soon enough. I loved growing up there. I had a great childhood there. I was the leader of the pack amongst all of my friends. I started my entrepreneurship or love for entrepreneurship at a very, very young age when I was six. And I saw an ad on TV, and it was these horrible big-bellied children that were starving almost to death, and they had flies all over their face and their body. And I remember to this day, and I cried, and it still brings me to a very emotional place. And I said, "Mommy, we need to help these kids." And she says, "Honey, there's so many." And I said, "No, I want to help. I want to make a difference." And that's when I rallied up all of my friends. We have a little, to this day, there's a little bread house where we're used to, back in the days, the women would go and bake their breads on a Saturday morning. And in front of the bread house was like a little marketplace area. And we built little stands and made of like a flea market and sold the toys that we no longer needed. And we made, remember to this day, and I still have the letter. We made 106 Deutschmarks back then, and I sent it in. Turns out the ad was for Bread for the World. I sent it in. Oh. I got a letter back, and they said, thank you for contribution. You have no idea what the difference that you make. And that was at age six. So ever since then, you know, I decided, my dad, who's a missionary, said, you're a big tool for this world and for humanity. And when I was little, I'm like, I don't know what that means. Well, I sure now know what that means. So
yeah,
here I am.
Wow. I never knew that story. I'm so glad you shared that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you left that little town and then what?
Yep. I moved to Stuttgart, which was about 45 minutes outside of that little town. Moved to the big city, worked after I got 2 degrees, worked there for American Express Corporate Travel, went back to school, got another degree, and came to the United States to be an international student at one of the universities, went back to Germany, got another great corporate job, moved myself up the corporate ladder, and decided at one point, this is just not for me. There must be something else out there. There must be a bigger purpose, right? And that was around the same time I met my husband, Christian, over 20 years ago. And when I met him, we decided that our children that we're going to have sometime in the future are going to go to Montessori school, because I never liked school, to be honest. I have several degrees, but I never really liked school. And I said, I want to make a difference in my kids' lives, and I want them to really like school. So I went back to school, got a Montessori degree on top of my social pedagogy degree, and we came to the United States in 2004 to build a Montessori school. Now, that sounds all really easy and simple.
Yeah.
And, you know, we packed up our stuff and moved to the United States. There were many hurdles, many challenges. One of the challenges was I was a U.S. citizen. I have dual citizenship, and I sponsored my husband for a green card. So I went to the embassy in Munich to check on the green card status, and they didn't like me asking questions, and they seized my passport. Now, we already gave up our apartment.
Oh, my gosh.
And, right? So here I am, no U.S. passport. We're sitting basically on packed baggage with a 16-month-old at the time.
Wow.
And I said, well, what are you doing? And they're like, you're not in any position to ask any questions, leave. And they escorted me out of the embassy. And only, 2 months later, I got my passport back in a FedEx envelope with no explanation. It was just kind of a scare tactic. Well, what I didn't know at the time was that my file was red flagged, and my dad was a missionary that traveled to different Arabic countries, and there was some kind of flag on his passport, and because we're, immediately related, there must have been a flag there. So my dad passed in the meantime, and, he did great, great work in the name of the Lord, and there will always be, little obstacles thrown in your way, but we never lost sight of what we're supposed to do and what we're meant to do. And in April 2004, we did move to the States, and we did build our Montessori school. And, our children are now, fast forward, 17, almost 18, and 14.
And we have a graduate, a high school graduate.
We have a high school graduate, yes. We have a high school graduate, and Amelie, who is the high school graduate, who just graduated last week, will be 18 on Friday. So, look, I mean, this kid is graduating during COVID. Both
God
children
bless
have gone, I know, both children have gone through school during a time where, you know, online school was really not in their repertoire, and they did it, and they came out with flying colors. And I got to give it to all kids that have gone through school the last half year, and all teachers.
I mean, little did they know, the seniors, you know, I don't know what date it was for Amelie, but, you know, for a lot of kids around here in the Baltimore area, I think it was Friday the 13th of March. But little did they know that that would be their last day, right, of seeing their friends. Challenges abound. Challenges abound. So
it is.
Here you are.
We can embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
no, what you say. Finish it. We can embrace it.
Yes. Yeah, we can either fight it or we can embrace it and really use it as a stepstone. And I choose to use it as a stepstone. Love it along the way. Embrace it because it's not out of our control.
Right. Right.
So
exactly. Well, guess what I'm going to do? I am going to unmute Jana because she's as passionate about entrepreneurship and a certain Brigida Heffele as I am. And I'm going to invite her to comment when she needs to. So let's see how this goes. Come on. Oh, I wonder if I can unmute two people at a time. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. That's weird. I'm going to try this. Hold on. Okay.
I am unmuted.
There you are.
Hello?
All right. Yes, I hear you, Jana. Okay, awesome. And that's great. So now we have Jana and Brigida on at the same time. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
Okay. All right, great. And no particular echo, although I do, Jana, hear a weird beep. I don't know what that is. But
I'm in the elevator. Sorry.
Oh,
guys.
My God.
You know how it is?
Oh, my God. We're talking to you in the elevator?
Doing 50 things. Well, you guys know how it is. There's the computer time. Then there's, even during COVID, you got to run out and do, there's post office things to do. All kinds of staying busy.
Okay.
In a good way. I would say productive, not busy.
There you go.
Oh, you must have a great coach. I wonder where you picked that up.
All right. Well, anyway, so Jana, I'm going to ask a few questions in particular of Brigida, but you feel free to chime in if you want to ask something as well or comment. Brigida, the three specific questions I want to make sure you answer while we're on this broadcast is, how do you build rapport? What is the law of requisite variety? And what's the structure of a well-formed outcome? So
Great question. First of all,
I want you to just preface that with why those things are important anyway. Why do we care? Why should we care about law of requisite variety, well-formed outcomes, and building rapport?
Yeah, because that's the strategy and the foundation of any communication. If we do not have rapport, you and your listeners probably heard, you know, people will buy from you even if you're not selling something. They will have a buy-in from you when they know, like, and trust you. That's all fine and dandy, but how do you get someone that you might have just met know, like, and trust you? So that's why these three specific questions are so necessary, not just or they're meaningful to me, but they're necessary for all communication.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's dive in.
You know, the first question that you asked, how do you build rapport? When you go to a networking event or you go, you know, to any kind of place where you can meet people, that can be, you know, Publix or your grocery store or the street.
Piggly Wiggly.
You know, 6 feet. Piggly Wiggly.
I don't know why that comes to mind, but yeah.
Sure. Listen, whatever floats your boat.
Well, you're down there in Atlanta. Isn't Piggly Wiggly in Atlanta?
There is a Piggly Wiggly in Atlanta.
I knew it.
We have a fun time every time we drive by. But wherever you are, it's easy to go and meet someone that is a lot like you. And you can't even put your finger on why do you have a feeling that they're like you? Because maybe you share the same language. You know, it's easy for me to go, say, to Atlantic Station here in Atlanta, and I hear German. It's easy for me to go there and start talking German and find out, you know, where are they from? Because that is something that we have in common, that we can easily speak about, and I can speak in that person's language, in the German language, and it sets us apart from everyone else. You know, we tap into, on a subconscious level, what do people value? How are they dressed, perhaps? Or what are the specific things that are saying? Are they speaking more in a visual way? Or are they speaking more in a kinesthetic way? Are they more of a touchy-feely kind of person? Or are they more of a strategic person? Whoever I am in my dominant characteristic, in my dominant value code, that's who I'm going to tend to make a connection with, because
mm-hmm.
they're so much like us, right? I don't have to
right.
think in any different way. But then, having said that, it's also harder to build rapport with people that are not like us. I think right now we get that more than in any other time, that we kind of forget how to talk to, I'm going to put it in air quotation marks, the other, the person
mm-hmm.
that is not in the same interest that we have, or maybe not even the same religious background that we have, or the same political background that we have.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a respect there, or at least there should be still a respect there, that we can talk to each other, not necessarily agree with each other, but at least relate to each other. I'm not using the term understand. I'm using the term relate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And really be interested in the other person, and also being able to listen to their side, and not just verbally vomit our stuff onto the person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our lives is all, it's built on relationships, may it be in business, may it be in the personal space. It's all relationships on different levels in different
right.
areas. And I like to say all business problems are personal problems, and all personal problems are business
mm-hmm.
problems.
Mm-hmm.
We are not robots that we, you know, once we come home from work, or, you know, we leave our office if we're working from home right now, we kind of shut off the, okay, I'm done with my business Brigida now. I'm going to go over to being the
mm-hmm.
private Brigida. We're holistic
yeah.
beings.
Yep.
That's why it's so necessary to, for me as an avid learner, and I continuously learn, and I work on myself to become a better listener, to become a better person, to make a bigger impact in the world, and that all starts with relationships. And in order to build relationships, you must be able to build rapport.
Well, Brigida, given that today is June 1st, 2020, we are in the midst of COVID, and sadly, we are in the midst of riotous goings-on around the country. I think
yeah.
this is a very pertinent discussion to be having about listening to one another, even to, as you said, the other and people who are different from us. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just imagine a world where people could actually talk with each other, not at each other, you know,
yes.
and
yes.
hear what each other is most concerned about, et cetera.
Emotions are high right now. Emotions
yep.
are heightened, you know, with the riots, but they're even more heightened right now because everyone was in a shutdown or lockdown
yeah.
or so it's frustration stacked on frustration. That's
mm-hmm.
not a good thing. That's
right.
never, you know, a good start in the begin in the first place. So I don't have the solution. I don't, Jory. I wish I had, but I think if I would have a solution, it would be less emotional outrage and more listening.
Well, that
listening
may be
heart.
The answer. Yeah, there you go. Because I was going to say, I mean, we're talking right now, or I've brought up a national, if not international, problem. However, let's just think of one situation. You know, maybe a husband and wife, or a brother to sister, or, you know, another situation where it is just two people and tensions have gotten high. What would you recommend to these two people as a master, I call you a master communicator because indeed you are. What is a good way to bring down high emotions when you're trying to communicate with somebody?
Right. Well, first of all, take a deep breath and don't jump to a communication or what you might want to see as a communication that's just going at each other's throats verbally. Take a deep breath and maybe even sleep over it, or at least take a walk. Go somewhere where you are in a neutral place, not your living room or your dining room or your office. Go somewhere where you can be, I'm going to put in air quotation marks, civil with each other, and that might be, even if it's just stepping outside into a parking lot or somewhere where you can go on neutral ground, right? When emotions are high, intelligence is low. So kind of allowing yourself to take a deep breath. The second part in that is at least try to relate where the other person is coming from. And that means that you got to put your own emotions aside or disassociate yourself from the situation so you can look at it from a different perspective, from a different angle, and tap into, if we take the, husband-wife scenario, as you just said, first of all, being very clear, what is my, I'll just take my example right now. If I have a conversation or a discussion with my husband, knowing what is my husband's personality type, it's probably either exactly the same as I am or the complete opposite, and being very aware of what he values most so I can connect to him and at least look at it from the perspective of outside of my emotional heightened state.
That's good.
And, there's no immediate real solution, but there is a desire to at least relate to one another. And that takes listening and that takes plugging into the personality types.
Yes. And what's fascinating, you said it's all about relationships. Everything is.
Yes.
So what you're saying, you're giving an example right now of a husband and wife, right?
Yep.
And let's go into the business arena. So how you're again, we're going back to building rapport, trust and rapport, law of requisite variety, and structure of a well-formed outcome. Let's apply that in the entrepreneurial space.
Perfect. I have a great example. We finished a 10-day course last week, and one of my participants had a contractor who he paid, and the contractor didn't deliver what he was supposed to deliver. Now he's paid this guy, and he's got a big old mess. So he's really upset. He's like, I threw a bunch of money, thousands of dollars out the window. He's not answering my calls. What do I do? So first of all, looking at the circle of influence and looking at what you can control is how you communicate with him moving forward. Send him an email, describe the situation. And then at one point, you got to know that this is where the well-formed outcome comes in. You got to know, how far do you want to go? What is it that you want at the end? Do you want your money back? Do you want to come back and finish the job? What do you want? What do you specifically want, and by when? And how can you now communicate that? Because the rapport is broken. The rapport is broken on both sides. But what is in your control? And you are only in control of yourself. He is not, cannot control this contractor. How can you best communicate to this person of what the next steps are? And if he cannot get him on the phone, he might as well write an email, knowing that words are 7% in our communication. Tonality is 38% and body language is 55%. Now, if he does not know what this person's personality code is and what he values most, I'm talking about the contractor, and he's writing an email where he does not have any, cannot tap into the body language because that does not transmit via email, does not transmit the tonality, because we, when we read an email or a text message, we are putting our own tonality that we think it sounds like into the email.
Yeah,
that's
boy, that's
for
sure.
That's where a lot of misunderstandings happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're projecting. We're humans. We
yeah.
project stuff into what we're
yeah.
reading, right?
Exactly.
And, we
and if I were if I were to have written that, this is how I would be feeling. You
yes.
know, so we
yeah.
put our we
exactly.
attach our own emotions to those words. Yeah, exactly.
Totally. It's a full blown projection.
Brigida, I think you've addressed that enough that I can bring Jana in. I know she could only be here for a few minutes, so let's just see if Jana has any questions or comments. Is that okay, Brigida?
Oh, for sure. And you can probably ask her about the law of requisite variety.
Oh, whoa. All right, Jana, weigh in.
I don't know.
We'll see.
All right. I actually have a little bit more time here, so we're good to go.
Oh, good.
Oh, my gosh. So law of requisite variety, I did learn this from Brigida. So, and this has been such a huge assistance to my own, you know, personal and professional life, because it is like you can, what you're saying about the contract, you can only be in control of so much. And so your ability to be flexible is so important. So, Brigida, can you help me if I'm getting this wording wrong? But, like, law of requisite variety is the person with the most flexibility,
You've heard both Brigida and your mom refer to personality codes and all of that, but neither of us has explained what it is that we do, and you're involved as well. So do you want to just comment a little bit on code breaker technology and using bank codes to assess personalities?
Sure. Okay. So I know that personality science is, like, huge. I mean, it seems like people naturally are wanting to, we like to sort and categorize and try and figure people out. I feel like that's a pretty normal thing. So that's everything from, you know, astrology, Enneagrams, oh gosh, here we go, DISC.
Myers-Briggs, DISC.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All kinds of stuff. So people are really, and I've been one to be involved in and taken some of those as well, but I've never done a good job of being able to remember any of those and what they stood for, what was going on. So the bank methodology is what Brigida and Madame Jory are referring to here when they keep saying personality code here. It's their bank code. And so BANK is an acronym. It stands for Blueprint, Action, Nurturing, and Knowledge. And this is a really easy, fast way to figure out the way to start the conversation, the way to relate, the way to connect with the other person based on what they value and what is important to them. And I love how it's just so easy. Like, even I have a little brother now who's 11, but when he was 10, I just started explaining, you know, handed him, we have these cards that have 12 values for each of these four personality types. And he was able to get it immediately of just like, oh, yeah, a blueprint person. They like their blueprint. They like their structure and their systems and the process and planning and all of that. And action, high energy, excitement, freedom, fun, and then, you know, nurturing, which, of course, nurturing, relationships, kindness, connection, authenticity. And then, you know, the knowledge is a knowledgeable person that wants to learn and have the information and the facts and the data. So I love that it's very intuitive and straightforward, and it's a very easy way to, if we must categorize and label, which, you know, sometimes we do, it's an easier way to connect with somebody if we have some information about them. So that's what they're referring to, and what Mom's saying in terms of crackmycode.com, which you sang earlier. So highly recommend people jump into that, because it's just great to know how to relate to people better, and it's a very easy system to quickly and efficiently be a part of.
Well, thank you, Jana. That was awesome. And I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to get back to Brigida. The question, Jana, is, what is the benefit of, we all know the benefit of being friends with Brigida, but what has been the benefit for you of coaching with Brigida?
Oh, my goodness. So there's a lot of coaches out there, and, you know, maybe they're just there to hold your hand emotionally or something. And Brigida has this fantastic way of, yes, she will be there for you emotionally, but she keeps you in action, and she keeps you moving forward based on what you need, not just one set system of like, oh, well, this is exactly how to do marketing, and oh, this is exactly. No, it is, she just has this wonderful way of meeting you where you are, diagnosing with you what you ultimately want and how to put that into action steps, tangible things that you can actually work on where you have this big dream. I know I have huge dreams that I know are possible, and I work with her to find those action steps that I can be taking each day to feel accomplished and empowered. So that's Brigida. Can't say enough nice things about you, and always look forward to our next action strategy coaching session.
Wow, Jana, thank you. Thank you. That was absolutely beautifully stated. And, you know, one thing that I want to add to that, I only bring the greatness out of in people that is already there. That's my superpower.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's
thank
good.
You.
Well, thank you, Jana, for joining us. I hope you can, it sounds like you're driving or something, but I hope you can stay on for the rest of the show.
I'll stay on. I'm continuing to do the errands. Thank you guys for letting me join you.
I'm glad you did. All right, hon. Take care, Jana. Have a good day.
Thanks.
Hopefully
all right,
see Jana in Atlanta very soon. Yes.
Jana in Atlanta. That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brigida, you take it from here. What would you like to, well, at least for a few minutes, because you know me, I'll take control back, but... what would you most like to convey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to reiterate what Jana said, because I really hope that everyone got that. The law of requisite variety, and Jana was absolutely right. The person with the most flexibility controls the system. That is a law. And what that also means is that the person that is most flexible in their communication can make deeper, quicker connections, build rapport quicker. The person that also asks the best quality question controls the conversation. The more flexible you are with your communication, the more people you can impact, the bigger of a dent you can make, the more good you can do. That's the law of requisite variety, and I don't think that a whole lot of people are really aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't serve one to be, so rigid in their own way. Does not serve anyone. That's why it's so necessary, the law of requisite variety.
And I think ego has a place in the world. You know, I mean, we need our egos. I'm not one who just thinks the word ego is automatically a bad thing.
Nope.
If we think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I mean, we need that foundation. We need to have security and safety and all of that. But ego can be magnified. And I think when you're talking about this law of requisite variety, if people are so stuck in their ways and so determined that they're right and their way is the only way, that it can definitely get in the way of powerful, meaningful communication.
Yes.
And I'm reminded,
agreed,
Esther Wildenberg, whom we all know and love, she has had us do an exercise called The Fog. Are you aware of that one? I think that's the
name
of it.
I am aware of The Fog, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about that. But I think that is an example of how we need to be willing to give, to bend into things, right?
Well, and that goes back to communication and really allowing ourselves to not be absorbed by what we think, but literally, and this is a great exercise for everyone, speak back what you hear the other person saying.
Mm-hmm.
Literally speak it back. When you want to build rapport with someone, you don't know where to start, and they're using a metaphor or a specific word that they like to fill their sentence with, or they repeat the word fascinating, whatever it may be, pick up on that and speak it back. That is their language. That is their encoded language. Start speaking it back. That's how you build rapport. It's really easy to build rapport with people when you are actively listening to what their model of the world is.
Mm-hmm.
But we often are, like you said, ego. And ego is not a bad thing when it's in balance with healthy flexibility.
Oh, that's good.
Then it becomes really healthy. We need ego to survive. You're absolutely right about that. But it cannot take over. It needs to be in balance.
Yeah.
And we need to keep ourselves in check, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we can when we can make communication not all about me, and be interesting, but starting to be interested in people, that's when we start building rapport.
Well, as you were talking, I started reflecting on the name of this radio show, Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if we're too stuck in our mind and in our ego, then we're not putting enough of our heart and soul into the communication, and we need to take a step back and reflect and speak with and listen. And to go to the beginning of the show, listen with heart and all of our heart and soul.
I agree, and it's not either or; it's and, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just emotion or knowledge. It is both.
Yep.
It's a balance of emotion and knowledge. It's a balance of the brain and the information and our heart and our soul.
It's a lot.
And that's when it becomes very, very powerful.
It does.
It is not just IQ. I had this conversation. I went walking with a friend of mine, a neighbor, this morning, 3 miles before we got our workday started. And we talked about our children. And she says, you know, we talk about Amelie and Anna, our kids. And she pointed out, she says, you know, your kids are very smart. They have a high IQ, and they're street smart too. They have a huge EQ as well. And I said, you know, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I keep bringing that up. It is the balance of both. But if you only have one, you're out of lack. You're out of whack. You're out of alignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we all know people like that.
Yes, they're
one
way
or the other.
And there are many country leaders like that are, you know, either highly intelligent, but they're lacking the humanity side, or they're really on the humanity side, they're lacking the intelligence. It's not either or, it is an and that's what we need more of. We need more of that and less of the but.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about excuse me. Let's talk about speaking in public, because this is one of your specialties. And we've been talking in large part today about one-on-one conversations. But gosh, Brigitte, you are awesome in front of a group of people. How do you do that? And I do want you to weave in your NLP work.
Yes, absolutely. And we haven't even talked about my NLP work, so I'm just going to give a little bit of context. So I'm a sucker for methodologies, and although you probably heard me say earlier that I didn't like going to school, yet I have two educational facilities. One is the Montessori School, and the other one is the NLP Institute of Atlanta, where we teach others to really communicate on a deeper level. And we integrate the bank methodology, as Jenna was sharing earlier. Speaking to a group of people is a little bit harder. I have some folks that love one-on-one coaching. I have folks that love the group coaching. On one-on-one coaching or one-on-one conversations, it's easy to tap into and pay attention to what that one person values and what are their modalities and how do they structure their model of the world. And then you come into a large room of, let's just say 5 people or 10 people, and I've spoken in front of 500,000 people. That's a totally different ball game. That's a totally different skill set to have, because now you are speaking, and I call it a rainbow. Now you're speaking to all personality types.
Yes.
So I really, here's one thing, Jory, and I wish that more speakers would do that. One of my speaker mentors many, many years ago taught me when I go on stage, when I go up those stairs to get on stage to speak to a big group of people, I leave my stuff at the bottom of the stairs.
Is this your emotional
when
stuff?
When I enter the stage,
right?
All of my stuff,
all of your stuff,
all of my agenda. All of my stuff, I leave that at the bottom of the stairs, because when I enter that stage, it doesn't become about me anymore. It is about them.
Yeah.
And when I can have, here we go again, the variety, when I have enough flexibility in my communication, I have great positive and supportive language patterns, that's where NLP comes in, then I can literally speak to everyone in the crowd. How often have you gone to church? I know I have. And I heard a message and I was like, oh my goodness, he or she literally spoke to me, like personally to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is a gift. That is a gift and that's a skill. That's a gift and a skill that I got from my father, because when he spoke to hundreds of people, he would speak like he's literally speaking to me, because that's charisma. It's speaking each individual personality code and being able to weave that in your communication.
Right. Right, exactly.
And as we're listening here on this wonderful radio show, and we have to, and I'm going to call it what everyone calls it, but I'm going to reframe it into something different, social distancing. I like to call it physical distancing, because socially we're still social on Zoom, on radio, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a physical distancing. Now it's up to our language to bring in the kinesthetic and the nurturing language, because there's so many people out there that are suffering, that are yearning to be held, that are in complete and utter lockdown by themselves, and they have no one to care for them. They have no one to hug and just have that, just a hug, just a little bit of human touch.
That's really
true. And we can convey that in our communication.
Brigida, I am just going to check in with somebody. I'm not sure. That's a caller. And I'm not sure if he or she has a question or is just listening by phone. So let me just check in real quick. Okay.
Yep.
Area code 480, I'm coming to you. So get ready. Hello, this is Jory. Did you have a question for Brigida?
I did. This is Kathy Compton. I'm calling in from Phoenix. And I do
have
a question for
Brigida. Awesome. Hi. Go for it.
Yeah, my question is, when you're speaking in the bank code and you're actually over there in another person's world, does that mean you're actually agreeing with their values? You're actually agreeing with them? Or is it more a way to speak their language, to actually be able to connect so they can actually hear you and you can hear them.
Kathy, and thanks for calling in. This is so exciting that you're asking this question. Thank you, because it's a really good question. And I'm going to lay out a scenario, and then I might bring that question back to you, and let's have a more deeper conversation, because this is a really, really good question. And it comes often from nurturers that when they are becoming more flexible in the communication, that they are feeling they're out of integrity, that they're becoming someone else. This is not the case. So imagine a scenario. You're flying over, you know, once all this COVID stuff is done, you're flying over to France. You're flying into Charles de Gaulle Airport. You're going to, you know, leave the airport, and you're going into the bakery to get you a croissant and a café au lait. Is it respectful to at least bring out the few little pieces of French that you might remember or might not remember or have in your little, you know, phone or a book that you have bought to speak their language to order the croissant et café au lait? I mean, that's where my French ends. I had it in school, but that's where my French ends. And it's respectful to speak their language. That does not mean that I fully agree to all of the political stuff that's going on in France at the time, to the person that is behind the counter at the bakery. That means that I am simply making an effort to build rapport and to show respect to their language, their model of the world. And then I decide, do I like to encounter more? Do I want to learn more? Do I want to, you know, take a deeper look into their views? Or would I perhaps like to lead them to look at the worldview that I have? That is a NLP law, and it's called the law. It is called pacing and leading. You're first allowing to be respectful to the other person and have a conversation with them and pace them along their values, and then you decide, do you want to, maybe they want to see your side of the world too, and that's when you lead them. It is a dance. It is what Jory and I are doing here. We're dancing with each other verbally. Allow yourself to dance, but don't lose yourself in the communication. That means do not dissolve your own self into the other person. That is not the goal here.
Kathy, thank you. Do you have a follow-up?
No, that was great, because I suspected, as you were saying that, I thought, wow, it's like a dancing in a conversation where mm-hmm. there's really not a leading or a following. It's just a dance. And I just wanted to say I'm fans of both of yours. I think you guys do a great job. I love what mm-hmm. you're creating, what you're sharing with people. And, you know, at a time like this, communication is what will pull us all together. So thank you for the work you guys are both doing.
Amen.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Yeah. You have a great voice for radio, by the way, Kathy.
you really do.
I love your voice. All right, dear. I'm gonna mute you if that's okay. You good?
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
Have a great day, Kathy. Well, that was fun. Yay! We've had two callers.
I love it. Yes, and that was a great question.
It really was.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Are you giving too much?
Right? You know, are you doing away with your own personality and just folding
Mm-mm.
into the other person?
Mm-mm. That's not the case. Yeah. It's not just because I'm respectful to a Frenchman doesn't mean I become a citizen tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah. Well said. Well said. All right. Well, Brigitte, we're getting toward the end of the show. Not quite yet, but, you know, is there something in particular that you think would be important to address?
Oh, is there something in particular? Yeah. You know, I think one thing that I really want to address, especially during this time, that NLP is all about choice and flexibility. We talked a lot about flexibility. Let's talk about choice. You
okay.
can choose to be a victim in this time and go, oh, woe is me. You know, and there are plenty of people, millions and millions of people, which is horrible, that have no job right now for whatever reason. But do you choose to be a victim, or can you look at it perhaps, like I said earlier, disassociate yourself, step out and look at it from a different angle and see what you can do with the skills that you already have. One of my clients is a dentist, and he started working with me, came to me, and he says, I'm a dentist. That's what I do. I don't know what to do in this time of, you know, pandemic. And I said, well, tell me a little bit more. And he told me his skills and his skill set. And I said, so why do people come back? He says, people are not just coming back. They're coming back three generations. So the loyalty of his clientele is huge. And I said, is anyone teaching that anywhere at any dentist school? And he goes, nope. I said, that's where you're going to go. And he's already started his training program.
Aww.
And it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But people are often so in their own, I'm going to call them woods, that they don't see the forest for the trees.
Well, and there's another point, too. What we do naturally, we don't think of as being a big deal. You know, like for you and me, we like to talk.
Clearly. Clearly.
And we don't think of that necessarily as being a big deal. But for a lot of people, any form of public speaking, I mean, you've probably heard the Jerry Seinfeld joke about somebody would rather be the corpse lying in the casket than giving the eulogy. But it's true that you know, if you think about what is it that people compliment you on that comes naturally to you, and is there some way of having that be a transferable skill that you can then monetize? Or at least show up to be a positive influence in the world, even if you're not turning it into money.
Exactly. And you're probably a solution to some sort of pain that people are looking for. So they just don't know where. And often as individuals, and I include myself, I don't know all of my greatness because I'm so in it. So you need to have someone in your corps to hold you accountable, to kind of, you know, show you the mirror and say, this, have you thought about this? Okay, you look at it in this way. That's where coaches come in. I have three coaches.
There you go.
You know, people go, well, Brigida, wait a minute. You're a really, really
good coach. Why do you need to have?
Every coach needs a coach.
Yeah.
Because
Here.
I'm just going to leave it right there.
Well, it is also nice to have somebody like Jana and somebody like Kathy to come on and tell you how awesome you are. I'm glad that happened.
Talking about striking my ego. Thank you. I need someone's got to bring me down like a little, you know, helium balloon.
So let me ask you one last question. How does your faith, inform your decisions, your choices, your life?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
You're welcome.
You know, as I said earlier, and that's where it taps into, I'm so often reminded of my dad, really speaking God's use for me and the world into me. And I'm always reminded by that. And I, you know, if something should go to my head, I am reminded of that as well. Mm-hmm. I have a great connection to my Lord and Savior, and I keep it real, and faith plays a big, big part in my life and in my family. And there's a part of that that is also faith in myself, that I trust that God made me just the perfect way that he can possibly make me, to use me as a tool for humanity.
I love it. Well, we're down to 1 minute. Can you tell people how they can reach you?
Yes. really easy. Brigitte Höfele. You spell it just like you sound it out. It's really simple. B-R-I-G-I-T-T-A, last name H-O-E-F-E-R-L-E, Brigitte Höfele. You can find me on all social media under that name. And even easier, if you just Google NLP, as in Neuro-Linguistic Programming, NLP Atlanta, you can find me there. I'm the CEO and owner of Atlanta, of the NLP Institute of Atlanta. So if you just Google NLP Atlanta, our website will come up on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, you name it, we're there, NLP Atlanta.
Awesome. Maybe even MySpace. Well, we need to go. So thank you, everybody, for listening to Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. And thank you so much, Brigitte, for being my honored guest. Again, everyone, please visit JoriFisher.com for tons of free resources and go to crackmycode.com/report to get your free customized personality report. Everybody, until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you and be gracious unto you, and may the Lord grant you prosperity and peace. Well, thank you, everyone. Brigitte, big hugs from Baltimore, Maryland, all the way down to Atlanta.
Big
God bless
from
you.
Atlanta back. God bless you too, Jory. Thanks for having
me. Thank you, everybody. My pleasure. See you.
All right. Bye.